2010 expressed. A summary in parts. 51 weeks of news, arts, and entertainment may be difficult to summarize, especially a period as seemingly vibrant and active as 2010. This year, Mountain Express offers a review in parts through a selection of stories and images that staff writers, designers, photographers, and, in some cases, the readers, found the most interesting and memorable. A story in stories. It came from you, the Asheville community. In the end, a year at the Mountain Express is a year in Asheville. Our story will always be your story. As we head into the next decade of the still new millennium, join us in reflecting on the stories we love to tell and why we love to tell them, along with a bountiful spread of photos, links to videos, interviews, and other online-only material. Thank you, Asheville, for a newsworthy year elapsed and an exciting year to come.
Local Matters, our weekly news podcast. I'm Margaret Williams, news editor for Express, and this...
Jay Bartel, editorial assistant, Express.
And Jay, you've been working on our end-of-the-year special, which is...
Special?
We
invited our staff writers, columnists, photographers, cartoonists, even the Asheville Disclaimer. Oh, and let's not forget our production team.
Their favorite covers of the year.
Mm-hmm. To pick their favorite stories, photos, covers, cartoons, disclaimer pages of 2010. And by favorite, people were focusing on what they thought to be the most memorable from the year, either as a story or as a telling of a story.
For example, though I don't seem to get to write much these days, one of my favorite projects that we did as a news team was our election coverage, and I write a little bit about that, and we have an excerpt for one of my favorite stories that came out of that almost two-month period that in the fall, just for the fall part. I'm not even talking about the primaries in the May. We spent 2 months working really hard on that, and just the excitement and the energy that our team put out for that was pretty incredible. But there's lots more in the issue from...
Even in that section especially, there are links to videos, and there are also links to some food videos and A&E videos that are exclusively online.
We've got kind of our top hit letters of the mm-hmm. year, the most read, at least online, letters. Some, and a couple of them were somewhat controversial.
That's right. Same with news stories, the two most read news stories online.
Yep, and those were actually the two most read news stories of the year from two of our regular contributors, Ann Fit and Glenn, and Nelda Holder, who used to be our associate editor. We're going to have a mix of folks coming in and talking about their faves and what they have in this issue.
This is Jake Frankel, and for the end of the year issue, I picked two stories, one A&E story and one news story. The A&E story I picked was Roundhouse Kicks and Rocket Packs. First ever action film festival comes to Asheville with Chuck Norris himself, the guest of honor. I wrote this article in the spring. It was a preview of Action Fest, which was a Action Fest movie festival. And the reason why I picked it was because I got a chance to interview Chuck Norris, the legend, the superhuman. It was just a really funny, surreal experience. I called the number that his publicist had given me. I had no idea who was going to pick up, what was going to happen, and his wife picked up. And I talked to her for about 10 minutes. She made small talk. And then had a really fun, interesting conversation with Chuck. He talked to me for about half an hour about everything from what it was like to work with the stunt doubles in all these movies to the world would be like if it was a Chuck Tatership. The news story I picked was County Drug Court Saves Lives Money. I picked that story for a couple reasons. One, because as part of it I interviewed Rebecca Robinson, who was in the drug court problem, a program. And she credited the program with saving her life. She told me her story of being addicted, I believe, to 90 Vicodin at one point a day she was taking, which is just hard to imagine. Her whole life consisted of driving around to different pharmacies throughout the Carolinas, filling forged prescriptions, and it was really sad, but it was also really touching because she gave me insight into this program that is helping a lot of people who are dealing with similar addiction issues and keeping them out of jail and helping them become productive members of society again. And I would hope that maybe there's someone out there who read this story who is somehow inspired to also seek out help and maybe learned about this program as a way to help themselves out of a similarly tough situation.
I'm Susan Andrew, and I'm the Green Scene and Environmental Writer here at Mountain Express. And when I looked back at my favorite stories from the year, I was hired in June, and my favorite stories involve some adventure and a quest for a discovery. So my first assignment here on staff with Express really promised to deliver when the Defense Department abandoned its high-security satellite tracking station in the Pisgah National Forest down there past Brevard in the mid-1990s. Neighbors all around the site continued to believe that there were top-secret government activities continuing at the site. And so on my way down to cover this, my first story for Mount Express, my car's alternator abruptly died along Highway 64 on the way, and I had no choice but to pull over. When your alternator dies, it's dead, and the whole car is quiet and still. So I'm sitting there wondering what to do next. There's still 8 miles to go to get to the site, and I look in my rearview mirror, and I saw the blue lights flashing. A state trooper was pulling up behind me. I've never been so glad to see those blue lights in my rearview mirror. So within minutes, we were leaving my car behind, and we were off to the Pisgah Astronomical Research Institute some miles away. And as we were driving along, the conversation, the trooper kind of became part of the story. He goes, "Do you have a security clearance?" And he said that he lived just a few miles away, and he was kind of shaking his head. He said, "We still see the black Apache helicopters heading this way sometimes." He kind of laughed. He thinks the government is still doing something secret over here. And when I arrived, I could see the guardhouse at the gate. It was empty and cobwebby, and we went in, and all the trappings of high security operations were present. You know, the colorful alarm systems were mounted in the ceiling, and they still worked. They could turn them on and show us if there was some intruder coming into their secret working areas, that those sirens would go off and the alarms would sound, and everyone would put everything they were working on in the desk, shut the door, lock it, and go to some secret location. I don't know. Anyway, it's a nonprofit now operated for education on astronomy and the universe, and for kids, adults. It's a lovely site. Lots of fine equipment collecting information from far, far away, still active.
I'm Allie Marshall. I'm the A&E reporter. And the story that I chose for our year in review wrap-up was The Body Electric, which was a story about the electronic music scene in Asheville. And it ran back in March. Three of us worked on it: Gabe Chess, who was an intern at the time, Jake Frankel, and me. And each of us took a different angle on the electronic music scene. And I think for all of us, in different ways, it was kind of a learning experience. Perhaps for me, the most, I was really learning about what that music was all about and all the different types of electronic music. Jake definitely knew more about it. He's worked in some different festivals and with some producers. And he kind of talked about the festival end of it. And Gabe, who was still in high school at the time, a senior, he's since graduated, he talked about the younger scene and house parties and how they were able to perform without being able to perform in clubs. And then I talked about bands that are kind of analog and electric, using both electronic equipment and analog instruments. And what I think was most exciting about it was, well, a lot of the bands that I learned about they're now some of my favorite local bands, and I've really enjoyed going to those shows, but also that we were all kind of learning about this at the beginning of the year, and then by the end of the year there was Moogfest, which was this huge electronic music explosion, really, this huge 3-day weekend of just some of the top electronic music acts kind of descending on Asheville. And I'm not saying that we kicked that off or anything, but, you know, great minds think alike or whatever. So that was my experience with that story.
My name is Ayana Cizak Blatt, and I chose the story that I wrote called Sowing Deeper Seeds about the Pisgah View Community Peace Garden to be my featured story for 2010. And I chose that story because it was a really beautiful example of how individual action can have a ricochet effect in a community. Bob and Lucia are dedicated to this beautiful garden, which grows food for Pisgah View, a housing public housing project in West Asheville. And together they have this vision of growing food, feeding the community that lives and breathes at Pisgah View, while raising money to keep this garden project going with chickens, with hopefully more animals, and expanding each year. So it's just a beautiful example about how two people with one vision have made a very clear impact on their local community. And there's some beautiful photos also by Jonathan Welsh to check out. Thank you.
My name is Mackenzie Lunsford. I'm the Food and Futures Coordinator here at the Mountain Express. And for my end of the year piece, I chose a story about Susie Phillips called On a Roll. And Susie Phillips is a local chef. She was born in Lebanon, and she wants to have a falafel truck here in the Central Business District of Asheville. But she's had a lot of trouble getting that started because of opposition from local brick-and-mortar restaurant owners, and the city as well has a lot of rules set up barring street food, health code, lots of other things like that that are, of course, a real concern with any food establishment. But Susie's been kind of fighting the city and local business owners a little bit just to basically achieve her dream, which is the food truck.
I'm Rebecca Sulog, and I'm the A&E editor. And there's too many things to choose just one, but I was tasked with choosing my favorite thing that I wrote about, and it was the February performance of the 69 Love Songs albums that the Magnetic Fields put out some long time ago, done by 9 local bands, including Electric Owls and Tyler Ramsey and a lot of different people. It was a great show, sold out. That was a really fun piece because everybody answered lots of questions about the albums themselves and how they had inspired them. This was a little self-serving because they're my favorite albums, but at the same time, it was a really fun piece. I also, in this issue, write about our theater review project that's going on 2 years now. It's online only, so a lot of people don't know about it, but we really make an effort to cover every single production in town, which nobody does in the way that we're doing it. So that's pretty exciting. And that's at mountainx.com/theater. And another thing that people don't necessarily know about is that we have a concert photographer, Rich Orris, who has a day job, thank goodness, but he goes to lots of shows. And he sends us the photos, and they're on our website too. And that's, you can find those in our photo galleries.
Okay, that's it for Local Matters. We hope you stay tuned and pick up a copy of the coming out issue. Happy holidays!
And we'll see you next year.